The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, that when it is sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. These seem like simple enough stories. Yeah, parables with quite simple and straightforward points to make, quite readily made into, you know, the moral of this story is kind of sermons. And yet there's a lot going on in these parables that we don't see. So I'll just take the first one relatively briefly and do a little bit of digging into it. This last line that we see, "And when the grain is ripe, he wields a sickle at once, for the harvest has come," is actually a direct quotation from the prophet Joel, the third chapter of the prophet Joel. And what Joel is prophesying about at that time is the coming kingdom of God. It happens through actually the destruction of Israel, but then God's coming judgment of the pagan nations, right? Israel's oppressors, Israel's enemies, where God then wipes out, he destroys Israel's enemies, and he restores then, really at the stroke of a pen, the swipe of his hand, he restores Israel. So it's like this all at once coming, almost cataclysmic vision of the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is saying by amending this, rather by appending this, this direct quote from Joel onto his passage is to say that what he has just shared is of the sort of the prophet Joel, the coming kingdom of God and his judgment, and yet it takes place in a very, very different way. Because this first part, this night and day, the seed and its growth, is not what they had expected, and it's certainly not what they would have wanted. And I think it probably, if we turn on the TV, or if we read a newspaper this morning, or if we've been reading the papers recently, or paying any attention to what's going on in the world, we can say that hearts have not changed. We're all looking for a simple answer, right? What is going to lead to world peace? And we may all be looking for a simple answer, but it seems that we can't get on the same page, right? Because there's just, I don't know if I'd say there's no answer forthcoming, but we cannot agree on any of it, the beginning, the middle, or the end. What is going to bring about peace in the world? What is going to bring about happiness and prosperity for all peoples? What is going to bring about justice? Right? How can we dismantle injustice in the world? All of these questions, the eternal questions of human hearts, are no more answered today than they were in Jesus' day. And I think Jesus would tell us this same parable if he were to encounter us in the midst of our geopolitical struggles, or the struggles of our own local communities and the allocation of resources and what is justice and all the rest. He would point us to this very parable. Okay, this is how the kingdom of God comes about: a seed planted that grows. But how? And here at the very, in the very middle of this parable, Jesus shows that the man scatters the seed and he would sleep and rise night and day. He would sleep and rise. What is that word for rise? But a word that is used for the resurrection. Sleep and rise. It's the resurrection and the power of Jesus' resurrection lived by us that brings about the kingdom of God. We have to die with Christ. We have to die to our sinful selves. We have to die to our self-absorbed selves. We have to die to ourselves that are looking for salvation in something we can do and live for God who gives us Christ as our salvation. If we die with Christ and rise with him to a new life lived for God, then we can start to become the answer to these age-old questions. It's only if our humanity, our old man, is buried with all his sinful ways that we can rise with God to new life and build the world that he created us for, to bring about his loving rule and to advance his reign to every corner of creation.